Nateland is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello, folks, and hey, Bear. Welcome to the Nateland Podcast. I'm Nate Bargatze, Brian Bates, Aaron Weber, filling in for Dusty, who had a couldn't make it today. Nick Novicki. Hey, let me tell you, we saw the sunrise at Liza's.
Minnelli?
No. We have we brought Nick in. We had a fun. We're gonna get to it. Tell us some funny stories this weekend. Me and Nick were in California, and we went to the Vanity Fair party, another party.
Came straight here.
Yeah. Came straight. Yeah. I mean, we really have both slept about an hour and a half. So we're, you know, I feel like people. This, you know, I know it feels like we're doing a lot of celebrity talk recently, and they make me feel bad. Like, you know, but I flew back here to do this.
Yeah.
If I didn't. You know, It's like, how about you give me some credit for I'm slumming it
with the regular folks back at the park.
Well, but I mean, I'm not slumming it, yeah, but it's like, I'm not just blowing off.
Of course. I've,
you know,
of
we're coming course. Back because we're just trying to be fun.
He was flown back here by Tom Cruise in a fighter jet.
Yeah, in a fighter. Got by real quick. We went right over. We went around Nick's Southwest flight. So a couple things. Dusty taped a special this week, and it went great. You spoke to him.
Aaron, yeah, dude, he was pumped with it. Thinks it's going to come out great. Wants to thank everybody who came out. The shows were awesome.
That's great.
Excited to see that, dude.
Awesome. Also, we have our announcement, Nick Thune. Nick Thune has a brand new half-hour special from Nateland called Born Young. It will premiere on Nateland this Friday, March 7th. This Friday, March 7th, we got the poster up right there. It's a super fun one. So it's great. And I've been around Nick forever, and he killed it. And it's just, he's different, which is it, but in the best way.
Yeah.
Totally. It's its own thing. And you can tell even from the trailer, which is great, which is up now if you want to get a feel for it. It's just, it's going to be a different vibe from some of the Nateland stuff that you've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. All right, so before we get into, you know, our whole shebang, I feel like, I heard something that it was like people, because it sounds like this might be an episode of name dropping too. We're just saying that these people are here, but I don't know, I don't worship people, like it's just, I think it's fun for us. We are not in that world.
It would be more arrogant not to mention it. To me, you're sharing it like a guy. Can you believe this? A guy from Old Hickory is hanging out with these people.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
If it gets normal, that's when you've had a problem.
All right. Yeah.
That's what I think.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Let me know. I was at dinner with the Obamas last night. No, I'm joking. I don't. There you go. Just I think you guys were somewhere that, you know, was probably. I can imagine not being a name drop.
Saturday I did a show in Orlando, Florida for an organization called New Canaan Society, and it was great. Our buddy Greg Warren was also in Orlando, and he picked me up at the airport.
Oh, how about that?
We went to lunch.
Oh, that's fun.
I bet he didn't know what he was getting himself in for.
He did not. Yeah. He did not. I mean, his hotel was right by the airport. Mine was on the other side of Disney World. It took an hour to get me there.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll buy your lunch. And he's like, yeah, you will. And then
you buy me lunch, but you got to bring me to Tampa.
Basically. And then we get there and our server's kind of slow. And he gets up mid-conversation.
Slow physically?
Just service.
Okay.
Service.
Okay.
And I'm in mid-sentence telling a story I thought was interesting. And Greg just gets up from the table and goes and finds our server and comes back. And I'm like, all right, I'll pay. And he's like, I got it, man. I'm good. Paid for my meal as well.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll get the toll on the way back. Yeah, but my wallet was in the bag. So he got the toll. Yeah. So, yeah, he got the full Bates experience. Greg's the best, though.
Yeah.
He's so fun. And then flew home Sunday morning. Yesterday, I did a... Because
you had time to waste at the restaurant because you were next to your hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, he's got an hour drive back to get ready and then go back to the club.
He may not have made a show.
Yeah. He might not have got to go shower. He just had to
go straight to the club.
What time was this? Like 3, 4?
No, it was earlier than that. But the truth is, he has a good college buddy that lives in Orlando he was going to go see.
And you kind of ruined that.
Well, yeah. I definitely cut it short. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Because I'm going to drive by and say, what's up to you? Did you reach out to him?
Yeah.
You didn't ask him for a ride.
No,
but you said let's meet up.
I just said let's get together.
I know, but you were there for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You could just come in. Greg Warren's in Orlando, just wants a weekend with his buddy from college. Bates helicopters in and then calls him and goes, hey, you want to run all my errands for me?
Yeah. He wined and dined you.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a funny when you're like, you know, you're not mad. You're like happy to go be and seeing something that just kind of
unravels.
And then you're just like, dude, I didn't even really wanted to do anything. You know, and not that you didn't, but then almost everybody probably feels that way. But he drops you off 1 second to your hotel and then just sits in Disney traffic.
It's such a cool thing though. When you're in a city, you look at the other clubs, the other venues, you see who else is here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, somebody I know.
Yeah.
Like it is a cool thing.
It is a fun thing.
I think we had a good time.
Okay. No, yeah. I think. What day was it? Saturday?
Saturday.
Big show night, too. It's not, it's not Thursday. It's not where it's one show. It's not a Sunday where you're basically like bored. Yeah. I mean, it's a, it's the thick of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just one show, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to do 30 minutes.
Yeah, so much time.
In my hotel, basically. Yeah. I just walked down, did it, and went back up.
Called Greg Warren. Why don't you come get me?
Yeah. I told him that. Yeah. I told him, I said, pick me up in the morning. Take me to the airport.
Yeah.
He's like, I am not. Yeah. But that was great. And then I flew home for the first time ever on Spirit Airlines.
Okay.
You guys ever done Spirit?
I have done it before.
I think you're going backwards, my friend.
I think you're correct.
I got upgraded the last time, like to Vegas. I was in like a first class. They have
of
like
Spirit?
They do? Yeah. Just, and I had a ticket.
What do they let you sit inside the plane?
Yeah.
And it was the cheapest ticket. So if you pay for the cheapest version, you don't get your seat assignment until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first class was open, so I ended up in the best seat.
Oh, wow. Is it a real first class?
It was not. I mean,
it's
I got
a big, comfy seat.
But yeah. They were bringing me things, and it was...
And in the back of the plane, was just cages and roosters and chickens all jammed up in there and just fights. Full-on street fights going down.
Yeah.
And then Nick's like, I'll take a, can I get a Diet Coke? No ice.
The flight itself was fine. But when we got back to Nashville, I feel like the airport didn't treat us as well. Like, didn't give us good service because we're Spirit. We had to sit on the tarmac forever before we could get a gate. And I'm looking out the window like, I know we were here before that Delta flight.
Yeah.
I think they purposely just like,
that's
Spirit, sorry.
Yeah.
Then once we get off the plane, you have to get on a shuttle bus.
Oh,
it drives you across the tarmac to another. I've never done that.
Oh, this happened, that once.
It it's happens crazy. To LAX, too. Spirit is like, every airline is like, hey, we're above.
I feel like Spirit doesn't call ahead and let them know we're coming.
Mm-hmm.
So they land and then they go, all right, we'll try to find a spot to park real quick.
I would bet the pilots of Spirit don't know where they're going until they back out.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, all right.
Where are we going?
Yeah. And they land.
You see their phone on the dash?
And then they got to look.
GPS.
They could make Spirit. They go, look, you can park, but you got to look for it. They go, what gate are we going to land at? You go, come on, pal.
Yeah.
We don't know the gate we're going to be at. We're going to find it. But we're squeezing there. I think this guy's leaving.
Squeeze.
That David Spade joke. I thought
the Spade joke's so great. The guy, he goes, we drove around looking for parking. The pilot.
He followed, like, followed a guy.
He goes, we saw a guy and he was walking to his planes. We're like, all right, he's probably leaving. We followed him there. And then, but he just forgot his keys. So then we had to circle back around. Yeah. That's, you know, Spirit was no plane crashes. They
really?
They post that, like, because after, you know, just the horrible plane stuff, Spirit's like,
yeah.
I mean, like, whatever, you know, it's like.
They better not beat their chest too hard, though. Yeah.
Whose, like, brother was a pilot at Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a place that they were like, look, they love working. He loves working there. He loves the people he works with. I know it's looked at as this other airline, but it's kind of almost probably what Southwest kind of was. Southwest used to be the cheap bargain airport, and they're a little bit more now.
I just booked a Spirit flight from Detroit to Nashville, and it was listed at $44. And then once you go on,
yeah, you got to get
carry-on fee.
Carry-on fee and assigned seat. So after I chose those, it was $88.
Still cheap.
Oh, that's insane.
I know, but you're going to check a bag too.
I'm not checking a bag, but yeah. Right. I mean, the total was $88.
Yeah, you want a water, that'll be another 20.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's crazy though, $88. Just bring your own water. I mean—
Well, I'd have to buy it at the airport, but yeah.
Yeah. But you
that counts as your carry on, though.
No, you could bring a metal one and fill up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you could do $88 is crazy. Even if it was $130, that's crazy, dude. To go to Detroit. So you break even for your gig.
You're right. I thought about that. And then, so that was yesterday. And then I did a lunch and a birthday party for a 90-year-old lady.
All right.
That's fun.
That was a lot of fun. And,
yeah,
it was great. It was at the Loveless Cafe.
We got a great table here of covering all types of show business.
Yeah, we sure do.
We really do. Uh-huh. It's like, I mean, that alone should be just worth it for this podcast to go, we show you everything.
Yeah. Yep.
You're a young comic, what gig do you want to hear about? Because we're going to tell you about everyone.
We'll
cover it all.
All of them.
Yeah.
I have done every kind of show business gig.
I have too. That's why I love talking about comedy, because I've done parties. I've done birthday parties. I've done everything.
I've been dressed as Elvis. I've been the devil.
Nateland is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your Social Security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Aaron was sick last week.
I haven't seen y'all. Yeah, man.
Supposedly sick.
I had
saw a picture of him surfing.
Yeah, in Spokane. I was in Tacoma, Washington, Tacoma Comedy Club, and then Spokane Comedy Club. Two great clubs.
Yeah.
Two really, really good clubs. Mm-hmm. Almost all the shows were sold out. It was like just a hot weekend. Mm-hmm. One of those one of those weekends we talked about where you're like, everything's just kind of going great.
Yeah.
The drive from Tacoma to Spokane is one of the most beautiful drives I've ever made in my life through Washington. It was like unbelievable. So great weekend. And then Sunday night, I do the show. I go back to my hotel room. I go to bed. 2 hours later, I wake up. Top two or three sickest I've ever been in my life. Came out of nowhere, dude. I'm on the floor of the bathroom. Called 911 on myself.
911.
Called 911 on myself.
Yeah.
Help.
And I just like, I just come get me. Like, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I'm on the bathroom floor. Come get me.
Yeah.
So they came and got me. Ambulance ride. Yeah. Went, rode an ambulance.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was that.
TMZ has a video.
Yeah.
It was.
What did you just stay on the floor till they came in there?
By the time they got there, I was sitting on the bed, but I was on the floor for a
long time. He drove the ambulance, actually.
A long time.
Yeah, did you get another guy?
Were you dressed?
Yeah. Yeah. I had completely sweats on and a t-shirt.
And they had to bring a gurney all the way.
Oh, yeah. They came up and got me. I rode out on a stretcher and down the elevator.
Could you get on the stretcher, or did they have to help you on?
I could crawl on. I was, when I called, what I was worried about was I felt like I was about to pass out.
Yeah.
And I was worried I was going to pass out and then keep throwing up. Because the throw up, I mean, the vomit was insane.
Mm. Yeah.
And it kept coming, and I'm lightheaded. And I was delirious enough. I was like, did I get poisoned? Like, this is out of nowhere. Mm. So, like, I don't know. But I don't want to pass out and die on the bathroom floor in Spokane.
So you figure I'll do it in the bed?
So I figure I'll do it at a hospital.
Yeah.
Like a gentleman.
Yeah, like a gentleman,
So it brought me to the ER. I spent 6 or 7 hours just in the hallway. There wasn't a room for me, just on a hospital bed. Mm-hmm. They got me IVs and
did you have your phone?
Nausea meds. I had my phone. The texts to my wife were hilarious, like looking back.
Yeah.
Because I did not have the wherewithal to like even have a conversation with anybody. So I texted my wife at like 2 a.m. Hey, I had a 5 a.m. flight. So at like 2 a.m. I go, hey, I think I'm going to have to push the flight back a little bit. Just a heads up. Haven't been home in 4 or 5 days. Baby's at home. And then my next text is at like 7 a.m. I just texted, I'm fine. And Lucy's like, well, the ER just called. I don't think you're fine.
Yeah,
I like couldn't even. Yeah, so, and then I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, well, my rental car is now late. I don't have a hotel room the next night. I missed my flight. Everything's just piling up. Yeah. It's just a nightmare.
You may just have to live there.
And then here's the craziest part was, you know, they take you to the ER and the ambulance. Great. And then when you're discharged, they're just like, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 6:30, 7 in the morning.
Monday morning.
I'm in Spokane. It's cold. I have t-shirt, sweatshirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, good luck. So I'm like so out of it. I like Google. I'm about 2 miles from the hotel. So I'm like, I guess I'll just walk back to the hotel. So I pull up Uber, Spokane on a Monday morning. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no cars. So I just start walking. And then I go, let me just send a call out on Uber. I call it. Dude, within like 3 seconds, car just pulls up, picks me up. I think it was an angel. I really don't. I mean, the guy came out of nowhere, gave me a ride back. I want to thank that guy.
What do you mean send a call out?
Like, I just go request an Uber, even though there's none. It says none in the area, I just requested it.
Oh, you can do that?
And the guy, the guy came out of nowhere and got me. It was like a crazy $2 Uber ride for him. There's no point of him doing that. But he picked me up and brought me back. And then I had to stay in Spokane an extra day. It was just such a great weekend, and then it was just such a tough weekend. I just laid in the hotel bed, throwing up. And anyway, I'm good now. It took me a long time to get back. Even when by the time I got home, I told Lucy, I just got to lay in bed for a day. I can't do anything. Yeah. Couldn't answer emails. I missed all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Meetings. I just didn't show up for. I was supposed to be on today in Nashville. Just didn't go because I just wasn't even thinking about it. So I'm all good now, but it was wild, dude. That's the most sick I've been on the road for sure.
Yeah.
Where you're like, dude, I'm on the other side of the country right now.
Yeah.
Did you have a direct flight home?
No, not from Spokane. I had to go southwest to Denver and then. Mm-hmm. So I flew out the next morning, still feeling like crap.
Did you throw up on the plane?
Not on the plane. I was done throwing up by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it all out, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got it all. I got everything out.
But then they're on that planes now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty big trouble.
Super spreader.
No, I masked up on the plane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They told me to. They were like, if you.
The hospital?
They go, yeah. They're like, you can fly home tomorrow. I would just wear a mask just for like, just, it's like just a nice thing to do. Yeah.
I'll be honest. I wish you had a mask on right now being next to you.
I'm so fine now. Yeah. I'm not. He even told me, they're like, you're not contagious right now. But just like, if you don't want to be feeling like you're breathing on people or whatever. I'm good now, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. Thank you to everybody who came to the shows. It was just such a whiplash from the shows were great to like 3 hours later, I'm on the floor of the bathroom feeling like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. You know?
Anyway. Well, I mean, that's what, you know, it's welcome to the road, I know, baby. I know. It's so funny that like comedy.
Have you ever been to an ambulance before?
No. And I've definitely never, no.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe I rode with somebody, but I've never been in an ambulance.
You broke your back, right?
Yeah, but I think my dad drove me to. Mm. But calling 911 on yourself is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Just like, you come get me.
Yeah. Well, the good thing, this is a comic, you got to think, you're going to get some pretty good stuff.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. That's the best part when you're like, all right, that might be a fun little story. Yeah. You look back on it. I was trying to think, I've been sick and it's. My voice was gone real bad once in Louisville. Are you there? Yeah. Yep. It was like insane.
Sounded like this.
Yeah, sounded like this. worse than this, but it was, I'm trying to think of any, like, I've gotten sick on the road. I'm blanking on.
I got sick once with you in Salt Lake City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got real sick in Colorado. I ate like some kind of fish. I was out.
Food poisoning?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
With me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't eat it? It was just
no, it's just me.
Hey, my stomach can handle it.
It was trout, and everybody was calling me Big Trout. Come on, Big Trout's coming in.
Yeah.
I'll never eat it again.
Trout again.
No, I'm never going to.
Yeah. You think so?
I would never eat it.
Last night, that thing you ate on the thing was trout. all right. Well, all right, a little lighter news.
You had a different weekend?
Sorry. You gotta jump in with it. You should have told us, like, I got a story about me dying. Given your own section.
Yeah, yeah.
A memoriam section. A memoriam section, but you deliver it. So they're like, well, he's alive. So
yeah. Goes,
I know, but he felt like he died. So... We were in, I was at the Irvine Improv this weekend. Great, amazing club, great crowd, very cool. So we were at Irvine Improv this weekend, and I was already going to Irvine Improv, and then I got invited to the Vanity Fair Oscars party. You know, it's their big, big event. And since I was in Irvine, I was like, all right. I was like, well, what'd you get on the show and drive straight there and go? The whole weekend, we had a fun weekend we went to Knott's Berry Farms.
Yeah.
You know who the mascot is in Knott's Berry Farms?
No. I don't know what Knott's Berry Farm is. It's like Pepperidge Farms?
No, it's like a theme. Food?
that's the goldfish.
Yeah.
What is Knott's Berry Farms?
I don't know either.
It's a theme park.
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard of it.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's where Steve Martin started.
Yeah. And Steve Martin did magic at a theme park. Okay. And like when he was like 14, he started in that park. Their mascot is Snoopy and all the Charlie Brown people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woodstock. Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, isn't that kind of a lower energy cartoon?
Kind of.
Like, yeah. It's like
a little more your... Yeah. Your speed. Is that what you're getting at?
I mean that, but it's like a little more sadder. It's like, it's kind of, it's not always.
Yeah, it's not Winnie the Pooh, but it's not. Yeah, it's not like.
It's not a happy.
That Linus music's pretty upbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Charlie Brown is like a tragic
character. Can you do the rest of it, Nick?
That's it. That was all I. I didn't think I was going to get called out.
Yeah. You don't even know it.
Yeah, what was that?
You kind of, everyone felt it.
You don't even know it at all.
It was a thing to Full House.
Everybody felt it.
So, They got a little theme. It's a cool theme park. It was right next to Disneyland, which is brutal. It's been around forever. But I mean, it's next door to Disneyland. So, but you know, there's a lot of people in there. So we go in there, just go walk around, check it out. Trying to think of any. We rode some rides. Nick.
I saw one of you on the ride.
Yeah.
Here it is. Right
we
here.
Had a good. We had a good yes. time. We got on the roller coaster.
Yeah. So this ride. Fun little roller coaster. So what Nick does is you can get, you know, Nick's always working.
Yeah.
He's always working. But he can get a pass where he can skip the lines.
Yeah.
But then that line for the guest pass was pretty long.
Yeah.
And I still said, that, I mean, that's the ultimate. If you can get in front of.
And does he get to bring y'all with him too?
Yeah.
Yeah. But oh. if he, but
it's
if
like
he,
Southwest.
Yeah.
But if he gets the guest pass, if he could get that guest pass in front of the guest service line, so everybody there needs that pass, I was like, that's the ultimate. If you get in front of them.
Yeah.
And he went over there and he came back. He goes, a little too many canes. And he felt bad about that. So he doesn't do it. And then we go, we're just kind of walking around, just kind of wasting the day, not going nuts at this park. So we go through and Nick goes and rides one ride with Travis and his son. And so they go do this ride. And so Nick goes up and he's just like, look, I think I can get us in.
Yeah.
This is what he does.
Yeah. So we go into the one entrance and I go in, and I'm trying to talk to the guy. And I'm like, look, we didn't get it. He's like, you have to have this passed. I was like, And I think if you just keep asking different questions, you know, you're going to get them eventually. So I'm like, where do you get that again?
He plays dumb.
Yeah. I go, that's my card. I go, wait, where is that line again? How long do you, what time of day are you supposed to get it? Just a series of questions. And eventually the guy was like, okay, you can go, but you got to go in the exit.
Yeah.
And I go, thank you so much. What was your name? And he goes, Alejandro. I go, Alejandro, thank you so much. So then we go to the other side. And now I'm using his name. I'm throwing that Alejandro for the rest of the day. I'm like, Alejandro gave me the permission.
Yeah.
We get free food.
If you see Nick out and he goes, what's your name? Do not give him your name. Your name is going to be how he ends up in the vault of whatever place you're at.
He's like Gary Veeder's dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Alejandro, we want to thank you. We had a great time.
Thank you, Alejandro. He goes, you told me, you go, you have it all mapped out. You go, I just play dumb. And then he sits there. And then we go ride this ride. We go up the wrong way. And so I'm watching it firsthand. And he just stands there and he goes, can we go in this way? And the guy's like, it's called a board pass. He's like, do you have a boarding pass? Nick's like, I don't, you know, he goes, no, I don't have it. And two is like, when he's doing this, it's not him. He's like, I also have 50 people with me.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, he goes, where is, oh, okay, where is that? And he's like, oh, it's over at the guest service. Oh, he goes, I just came up all the way these stairs. And then he's like, well, that's what, whatever. And he just kind of wears them out with questions. Yeah. Wears them out with going like, I don't know, where is it? I gotta, okay. And then eventually they're just like, all right, dude, just
get away from it.
Just get away from it.
Yeah.
And Nick goes, and he's like, thumbs up, like, we got it. So then we had to go walk around and I got a video of us in this line. Just the back half of this video. I mean, I'm losing my mind. Like, so he drives a little scooter up the exit ramp. And it's a long ramp and it's tiny. Like there shouldn't
have been you're gonna go up this, you know, ramp on a scooter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm barreling around corners. Like you can't see anything.
Yeah.
And it's
I mean, he was flying and that's where everybody exits.
There's no way to turn around.
There's no way to turn around. So if you show the video here, just pause it at the at the top, and I'll show you the picture.
Yeah.
So all right. So Nick is so that's how tight the area is. It's a very small area.
And I'm driving a Buick of a scooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the size of it is like a minivan.
If you're listening, it's a very narrow hallway. Yeah, ramp.
I think I said it's a small area. If you look, it's a very tiny area. Well, I didn't address if you're listening, I should address them as their own people.
I think you should. Talking about something you're looking at.
Yeah.
It's a very narrow area. Nick's cart was facing the opposite way. So he's got to do like kind of an Austin Powers, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So hold on, go back to the beginning. I mean, there's already been a whole thing. Yeah. Dustin Schaefer was with us. He started filming this. It's already been a problem. He's got to let them, the roller coaster is trying to go, but he's got to drive on the platform.
Okay.
And so he gets her to hold that gate open and just immediately drive straight into that blue gate. Just boom. I mean, just drills it back. Hear him backing up. You hear the beeping.
Yeah.
This is not him driving in, but this is him. Then he just comes. I mean, I'm losing it, dude.
That was you standing there.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm crying. Because so that was facing the other way. Look, that fills up that whole aisle. And so it's facing that way. So he had to go in, go there. Then you hear the beeping. So now he's got to back up past the gate. And then he's got to drive through it. And I mean, it was.
What do you have in your basket?
I got it. I ended up being, first of all,
that's a good story.
That's a whole other good story. But I also was just carrying everything. Once I got the scooter, they were like, let's just throw everything.
Well,
we
almost as well. He doesn't need the scooter, but we make him.
Mm-hmm. I become the
take
purse.
The scooter because we're like, we don't want to carry anything. So the.
Oh,
so where you got good. Those stuffies, where you got the stuffed animals. Was we go, they have a game in there where you can guess your age, weight, or month you were born, right? And so this girl's there, so we tell Nick, we're like, go do your weight. She's not gonna be able to guess your weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was like, you're gonna get like a stuffed animal, whatever. I was like, go do that. So Nick goes over there and he's like, I want you to do my weight. And this girl just starts, she asks a bunch of questions.
How close do they have to get?
Your weight
had to be within 3 years. 3 years or 20 pounds.
20 pounds. 2 years.
2 years.
Age was 2 years. Weight was 20 pounds, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
So it felt like this girl's like, well, I'm not doing the weight thing. She goes, and she's like, I'm just going to guess your age.
Well, no one said about age. We go over and said weight. I go, yeah, we're going to do weight. She's asking me a series of questions. Okay. You know, asking me what I eat. What do I eat for breakfast? Yeah. You know, things like that. And then
she's not factoring any of this.
She's not factoring anything. Then she's like, well, what was your favorite action figure as a kid? And I'm like, what does this have to do with my weight? You know, but I'm like, G.I. Joe, you know? And then boom, she's like, you're 46. I was like, whoa! Where did that come?
Yeah. 46. So if you're listening or watching, Nick is 42 years old. So the funniest part is she's got to get it within 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means what I believe is she wanted to say 48. But then she goes, I better be polite and back it up a little bit. And she goes, 46. Nick, there's no one thinks you're 46.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was such a funny idea that you're like, now he just leaves that game sad.
Right.
You know, like if they did, if you walk around or if you did one of those guess the weight thing and then they were like, 280 and you're like 210. Yeah. I mean, now you got a big stuffed animal, but you're just walk around sad the rest of the day, just like I don't know anymore.
She was kind of crazy too. After she's guessing a woman's weight, she was like way over. She was like, "Man, what are you about 210?" It's like the lady was like, she's about to cry. Yeah. I was like, this lady's like, "Man, what a deuce and a quarter!" You know?
She was off. So it's very we had a lot of fun with that.
Nateland is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians, these are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your Social Security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
All right, so then we go, we do the show Sunday night, we drive straight to the hotel to change into the tuxedos we have on right now.
Looking good.
Thank
go
you.
To the Vanity Fair party, we walk in. Nick is surprised he knows everybody. Right when we walk in, I mean, at Nick's, boom, everybody's coming up to him and he's hugging people and,
yeah.
Oh, do you have the bait? Like, they yeah. know... They're your best friends with everybody in there. You could have got in there without me.
No.
Yes. You knew everybody.
I know Alejandro, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You look like your date is not only a dude, but a little person. You look like the most progressive celebrity out there. This guy gets it. Yeah.
He was my date. Yeah. Nick took me on a date to a Boardwalk Empire premiere yep. about 15 years ago. So this is my, I'm repaying him. So we go in, we do, you know, we're doing, we like you do one by yourself, then you do one together. And we're going through, Halle Berry is right next to Nick. So I told him there's, you know, if you scroll all the way over, you'll see on this one, you'll see there's a picture of, So that's Halle Berry kind of in the background in the silver dress.
Right there, yeah.
That's Nick walking off after his pictures.
You don't look happy there.
Yeah, yeah. I got caught mid, yeah. you know.
Well, out. I was trying to get a picture because they were both standing there taking pictures. So I was trying to get a picture of Nick and Halle Berry. And then we walk in and then Halle Berry walks by and Nick's like, hey, how you doing? And like she goes, oh, good, yeah. And like, have fun. All right, y'all have fun. Keep walking. That's it. Nothing. We don't think. I never talk about this again until later. And then we're in the, when we leave, and I'll cut. We're leaving with Travis. I go. We met Halle Berry. He's like, when? I go, Nick. You talked to Halle Berry. He can't see. Like they were. It was us. It was me, him, and Halle Berry walking alone. And I even. I mean, he brought it up.
Yeah.
So he goes, we go through, we go on the party, like it's, we're gonna, you know, we're getting to talk to everybody. Ray Romano's there, and got to talk to Billy Crystal, and talked to Conan about hosting. I thought Conan did a great job hosting.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was like super fun, and it's...
So you got to see some of the awards.
No. I just went to the Vanity Fair party.
We watched the opening monologue.
We watched it on TV.
How did you know? Yeah. Count it. Yeah. Okay.
We watched it on TV. It was. I thought he did great. I thought it was like, you know, it is a brutal job. I get the idea of wanting to host a award show though, because this party wants to, you know, because just the challenge of it. But it is it's a completely thankless job, and. But he did great. He crushed it. So, yeah, we're in there. I'm trying to think what was the...
Well, it was just nuts talking to him because he yeah. literally just got off.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, this is a random guy who had an Oscar. And he wins, well, not random, he's an Academy Award of sound.
Some schmuck off the street. Yeah,
but it was a guy that we just started talking to.
Yeah.
And then he like almost had the Oscar in his back pocket. And he was like, I happen to also have an Oscar.
Well, so we ended up holding it. Yeah, everybody's walking around Oscars. We have a picture of us not holding it, but he did let us hold it.
Yeah.
And so there was, Oscar's very heavy.
Really?
Yeah. They gave it, because he gave one to Nick.
Yeah,
I immediately put my hands underneath it. Because Nick just took it. I'll hold it. And I was like,
it was too heavy.
Yeah, I was like, this is about to fall to the ground. And I mean, these people are, I mean, dude, it's crazy just to be at a party and you're just seeing people walking around with all the Oscars.
Yeah.
Everybody that won. So we're walking around, where, you know, you get to say hi to people and all this. We go up, there's Queen Latifah. And I was like, Nick walks up to her and he goes, hey, what's up? She goes, hey, what's up? Right. And then he walks back. Of course, Nick can't. He's got the eyesight of a bat. And so he doesn't know. I know he doesn't know. Well, his eyesight plays into a lot.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't know. And I go, dude, that was Queen Latifah. And he goes, what? And then he goes, so now he wants to go back and talk to her again. Because now he knows who she is.
Yeah.
And he's waiting to talk to her like, you know, like you're at a wedding waiting to, you know, give the bride an envelope.
Yeah.
And so he just stands there and then it does the exact same.
Yeah.
Just goes, hey. She goes, hey, how are you? Yeah. That was it.
That was the best part. Literally, I got done exactly what I wanted to wait in line to do again. Yeah. And I'm just there kind of like, I'm waiting to have my opportunity of the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Can't go further. It's not possible.
It's just
like six people around her.
Yeah.
You can't have a longer conversation that said.
You just wanted to say hi knowing it was her, though.
Yeah. I know, but it's just like,
I've already talked to
you. It's not like it was 20 minutes ago. It was
a minute.
It was on, he's on the left of her and goes, hi, and she goes, hi. And then by the time he gets to the right of her,
he's
in line. He's waiting in line. And he's like, and then it's like, all right. And she's been, by the way, in conversation the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not like she's alone.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking to someone. So now Nick's just standing there waiting behind her. So then we go walk by. Then you see Adrian Brody.
Oh, this is the best.
So Adrian Brody won Oscar for The Brutus. So when I did my cruise that I get made fun of for doing, the big Paul Allen cruise that had all the celebrities on it, Adrian Brody was there. So I was like, I go, you want to go meet Adrian Brody?
He was so excited about it. He goes, all right, man. Let's go. My boy, Adrian Brody.
Yeah,
my boy. We had a good time together.
We go back.
He's going to be excited.
Probably 10 years ago.
Did y'all hang out on that cruise or are you just around each other?
We did. Apparently not as much as I thought we did. But we definitely did.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's go meet him. I was like, you know, this is a guy. It's his night.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's sitting over there, and they're sitting on the. He's sitting on the couch again. He's the same thing like Queen. Like no one's wants you to come up to him.
Yeah.
And then me and Nick are just walking up to people, like you know, like they're rides. And so I go down there, and I was like, "Hey, man," I was like, "Nate," and there's no context to anything that I'm saying to him. And so he goes, "Oh, hey," he doesn't know me, and there's no context. And I was like, "We went on that boat." Remember that boat we went on, that trip? And he goes, yeah. I go, we're in the South China Sea.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. And then his buddy next to him did know me. He was like, oh, I'm a big fan. And I was like, oh, I appreciate it. I go, South China Sea.
Yeah, yeah. Is that not narrowed down at all?
Again, he goes, South China Sea. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But like he
still didn't remember.
He wasn't even looking at me when he said that's crazy. He was looking. He goes, yeah, that was a wild trip. And then I was like, he doesn't remember any of this.
Wow.
It was just so great. I think he almost said it a third time. South China Sea on the way out. Like,
I mean, imagine just someone, you just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
You cried. You gave a speech. And within an hour, you got a guy just going, South China Sea.
Hey, dog.
Yeah. What's up, Adrian?
He might have recognized me more than you.
Yeah, why?
Because I did the Tonight Show with him.
Oh, yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago, dressing room right next to him.
Did you talk to him?
No.
You could have got him in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I feel like I have as much of an in.
Yeah.
You do. Yeah, you do have as much of an in. Yeah. I should have. If I knew you did that, I would have brought that up. South China Sea. Aaron Weber. Aaron Weber.
Ambulance.
Yeah.
So then we go.
The guy set the record for longest Oscar acceptance speech.
You know, wow.
5.5 minutes.
Last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Set the record.
That's so then
5.5 minutes.
That's crazy.
Also the another fun story from last night. Sean Baker,
who also broke a record last night.
He broke a record last night. Won four Oscars.
I think five Oscars. I thought it was five.
It was
it's more than Walt Disney's, what someone said.
We have not read that. Anora, yeah. Right?
In the movie Anora. So he used to do stand up comedy. I was on a show with him. You know, I've met him a couple times. But again, coming off the excitement of the Adrian Brody.
Met him a couple times years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. But like, you know.
Yeah.
So we just had so much excitement with Adrian Brody being so excited to,
Nick's been loving it. He's been making fun of me.
I have been making fun of him. I just keep walking around going, South China Sea. South China Sea. So then I'm like, you know, we're talking to these women and from the Washington Post and somebody else that's just there.
Yeah, which we got mentioned in the Washington Post.
Yeah, we got five for what's about to happen. So I tell him, I've done comedy with Sean Baker. I'm so proud of him. I mean, he's done, movies from an iPhone. His first movie did everything together. I'm just so proud. I can't wait to see him and congratulate him and say hi.
Yeah.
And she goes, he's right over there. I go, all right, well, let's go, Nate. Let's go over. We're going to see my boy, Sean.
We're back in the pit with Adrian Brody.
So
what we didn't pick on, we just shouldn't have been in that pit.
Yeah.
There was a kind of two-step down pit area, and that seemed where the Oscar people were. And it was like, I don't know, maybe leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's so nice. He goes, hey, how are you? I'm Sean. I'm like, I'm like crushed for a second. Yeah. I'm like, I'm thinking this is like my cousin, you know? That he's going to be like, give me a kiss on my cheek or something, like so excited. And I go, we did comedy together. He goes, oh, yeah. And I probably should have just left it at that, but now I'm just keep going. I'm like, Ian Edwards, a comedian that we both know, he goes, oh, yeah, man, God, I know, it's just crazy. I'm just going further. I'm like, the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, we were talking about that. He goes, yes, that's right, man. Yeah. It just keeps going. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. He's like, I feel like everything's just been so nuts. I feel like, I've been having like a vasectomy today. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just like, the South China Sea.
He's just, and someone's with him going, he's got to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's got five Oscars in his
head. He was the big star of the night.
Yeah. He's got all this stuff. And
he was so nice, though. He couldn't have been cooler,
He was very, very
nice. He was just like, hey.
Adrian Brody was. They're all very nice and being polite to amuse us when they don't want to go to. So then we go to this other after party. And so then this after party that like everybody's supposedly going to. And so we get there and we walk in and you're like, all right, this could be the one. Supposedly like this is where like kind of everybody hangs out late and stuff. And we walk in, we're sitting there, guy walks up to Nick and like bends down and goes like, hey man, what's up? And Nick's like, hey man, great. Mm-hmm. He goes, you're doing good? He goes, yeah, doing good, man. He goes, all right, I'll see you, man. And then he walks off. And then Nick just walks over to me, he's not talking. And he's not like addressing what happened. I know who the guy was. So I could see the guy and I was like, he doesn't know who this is. Who that was. It was Leonardo DiCaprio. Dude, Leonardo DiCaprio got an inch from his face.
Yeah, he bent down, gave me a little hug.
Hug and a dab. And was like, how's it going, man? He's like, yeah, it's good, man. You go do whatever. And then...
You keep it on keeping on, brother.
Nick shouldn't even been within 12 blocks of this party. And he's got the main guy coming up saying hello. And he's like, all right, brother, I'll see you.
Do you know him?
No. I just was, it was like the, I'm standing in the middle and I'm just kind of, be friendly to anybody. Make eye contact. I'm just like, hey, what's up? You know, that kind of.
He made eye contact too. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
He came, he saw you and he bent down and he said, what's up? I mean, it was like, it was your like moment. I mean, I think if you'd have been like, where are y'all going? Can I come hang? He would have been like, yes.
Yeah.
Like he was like, he was being super cool with that, you know, the little interaction. But then the you blew him off and he did it as if it was just like someone after a show going, great show. And he's like, yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming out, man.
Thanks for coming out, man. Like, and he's just not talking. And I was like, I debated in the moment. I was like, should I wait and tell you like today? But then I was like, I kind of want, yeah. Then I was like, I'll just tell you now. I go, do you know who that was? He's like, no. You couldn't see their face at all. He was in your face. Y'all would have kissed almost.
Yeah.
And then Leonardo DiCaprio. But this party was like super fun. I don't know if there's just like, you know, everybody was just kind of at this party. Do we have any funny, like.
It just was, you know, there was a guy randomly who, you're not supposed to take photos at this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not supposed to take photos, somebody's going to want to take the camera out and involve me in it in a place.
Yeah.
So he singles me out and is trying to take videos with me and photos. And he's like, I'm going to introduce you to Megan Thee Stallion. But he's now like.
The Stallion?
Stallion.
Yeah. I didn't say what.
What it did was you Megan. Say?
I just said it really kind of. I just said a Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Megan. Sound like a transformer.
Yeah. You said Megan Nostalgia.
Nostalgic.
I think he said Mustalia.
Yeah.
Megan Mustalia.
Megan Mustalia.
Megan Mustalia. So he's like, yeah, she's my friend. But she's like, you know, he's got now a phone out and he's just filming me. And literally on the way in, you know, they're making
everywhere,
you
like
everywhere, no phones, no anything.
And he's doing.
And now it's just a little person and this guy who's, you know, had a couple of cocktails, who's just filming. And he's like, I'm going to introduce you to my friend. And they come up immediately.
But Nick goes with it because then I walk over there and I'm like, dude, this guy is like, you know, he's been drinking.
Yeah, he's not official.
I was kind of like, let's kind of get moving. And then Nick's like, we're going to go with him. We're going to meet Mega Mustalia. <Yeah. laughs> And then I'm like, all right. So then I'm just, then we start walking over there. And then he's trying to do more pictures. And then someone comes up and says, you cannot use your picture.
Yeah.
Then, you know, then they look at us and we're like, we didn't want to be a part of this. This guy's just being kind of a nightmare. And then everybody's dancing and stuff. And then me and Nick are standing on the side. And then he comes over and starts dancing just in front of us.
Yeah.
For a second.
The guy with the camera.
Yeah. Like he just starts like, you know, and then we're just looking at him. He's like, he just turns around and walks away. Very weird.
Yeah. But it was crazy. McCulkins were there. Macaulay McCulkin.
And what's his brother's name?
Rory.
Rory McCulkin.
There is a Rory McCulkin.
Yeah, but that's not the one.
No.
Yeah.
What's about Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Yes. But what's his brother name that won the Oscar last night?
Kieran. Yeah. Kieran. No, the one Oscar that we had a conversation with, and he's awesome. He won.
He brings up Rory McCulkin, which I guess there's another brother. I told him
there's
that's three. Like being like, I met Cooper Manning last night. He was awesome. He was awesome. He was like.
Again, they probably think y'all are the most progressive couple. So everybody's like, these guys.
Yeah.
We fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing good. He was super cool. And him and his wife were very down. He's one of these guys who have four kids with his wife afterwards. And, you know, it was very funny. His wife's like, well, I didn't think he was going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was.
His speech was funny.
Yeah. His speech was funny. He was like very, like, you know, just a normal, like very normal kind of person.
He was a fan of Nate.
I would not have thought that.
Well, he was a fan.
A child star.
I know.
And all his characters seem just so crazy.
Neurotic.
Crazy.
I mean,
he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is a very good actor.
Yeah.
It was super, super fun. We saw, you know, So, I mean, I don't know. That was kind of it. It was a fun night, though.
It was a really special night. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also, thank you. Shout out, you know, Amber.
We got them all fitted up in a tux.
Got a, you know, fancy tuxedo.
Got a great tuxedo for them.
So, really crazy. Special night.
Special night. Anyway, so Aaron, just get back to your hospital.
Yeah. How was it in the ambulance?
Aaron got a nice recognition, though, for his special.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about Dusty being one of the top 25 Netflix specials, which there's only 26. So Nate was the only one that didn't make it. But Aaron's what, top five? Or five specials to watch?
Five specials to watch.
Vulture did a nice write-up about it. So it's a quarter of a million views now. It's getting up there. It's going to keep, growing.
You were better observing than Nate. Which
they did.
I think we
they did in the article.
Yeah.
They said not as silly as Nate, but a slightly sharper observer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I like being silly. That was nice to hear.
You don't care about sharp observations.
You don't notice things, but you're pretty silly.
I don't notice them, but I am fun and silly. So, all right. Since we wore tuxes, that was a whole shindig.
Nateland is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Let's start with you guys' comments.
Let's start.
Christina Marshall. That was a crazy fun episode for me. Two of my absolute favorite things coming together. Huge Steelers fan. I cried when I watched Ben play his last game, and I am also a huge Nateland fan. This was a nerd cluster of an episode. We had Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger in your seat last week.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big Ben.
Mm-hmm. And we got Big Nick.
Big Nick. Yeah.
Terry Hagan is a hot dog.
If
a hot dog is a sandwich, then you have to make a similar claim that a corn dog is a sandwich, okay, or ravioli or tacos.
What?
One could even go so far as to claim that deep fried chicken with a heavy breading on the outside is a sandwich. No, a hot dog cannot be a sandwich.
I don't really get the argument.
Saying like if you're counting everything with bread around it, if you got meat inside of bread, then you'd be a ravioli would be considered a sandwich because it's meat wrapped around bread.
Somebody would consider a hot dog a sandwich?
I don't.
That was the debate.
That's like the internet debate that people ask.
But it's at least a bun.
Because whatever definition you have for a sandwich, a little offended I wasn't on the sandwiches episode.
A lot of people said that. But
I felt like next time, maybe you'll do a Notre Dame episode next time I'm gone.
I know.
Any definition you have for a sandwich could also apply to a hot dog when you think about it.
Yeah.
So that's the argument.
I feel like the bread of a hot dog is really just to hold the hot dog.
Yeah.
Well,
you eat it too.
What is the bread of a sandwich for?
But you eat.
The argument was.
How do you eat hot dogs?
I mean, I try to just hold the bread and eat around it.
Yeah.
Eat some of it.
If it's two pieces of bread, does that make it a sandwich?
The bun is two pieces of
bread. But it's connected.
Yeah. So that's the differentiator is just that. The two pieces of bread are connected loosely.
Well, I'm just saying what the argument is.
I know. I know. I'm not attacking you.
I didn't know you were going to be in the hospital last week when I chose sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true. Mike Nelson, what makes something a burger versus a sandwich? I'd say it's either on a bun or it's bread. But I seem to only ever hear Americans call it a chicken sandwich. For example, a McChicken in Australia would be a chicken burger over here, and a flail fish would be a fish burger. Hope we clear this up. There we go.
I mean, I think what makes a burger is if it's a burger.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that
one. I think if it's ground chicken formed into a patty like a McChicken is, then that's that. You can think of that more like a burger.
Okay.
But yeah, a filet, like a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A or Popeyes,
yeah,
where it's just a cut of chicken, that's a chicken sandwich, and it's not a burger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can't be a burger unless it's mm-hmm. beef.
Matthew Perkins. Having someone on who is a good laugher really helps. Greg Warren is the best. Close second.
Nick
Brian
Novicki.
Bates. Nick Novicki.
Ah.
You're in there.
Look at that.
You have
I
a great
ended
laugh.
Up in the yeah. comments.
You made it in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Doug Morris, TV above the mantle is a life hack to be able to watch the game and allow your kids to be in the room while watching sports. Aaron, being the good dad that he is, will soon be advocating TV above the mantles for anyone with children.
Man, I just don't know. I just don't know if I will.
You don't like a TV above the mantle.
I think the TV should be low. I think it should be eye level with you on the couch.
I agree. Our house.
Yeah, we talked so about we, it. He didn't yeah. like it.
You don't like ours? It's, I think it's up, but then
it's
you pull it.
You can pull it down and it's way better.
It's way better.
But it's still not as low as I would like, ideally. We're all, you know, we have to work with the room
yes.
that we're in. You have to
yeah.
make adjustments. But in an ideal world, you want it to be eye level with you on yeah. the couch. You
know? I am a big fan of you showing. He shows where the TVs should go all the time.
Mm-hmm. Hotels and Airbnbs. The setups people have are absurd, dude.
Yeah.
Where you want to go, like, talk me through how you think somebody is going to use this.
Yeah.
You want me to stand straight up and watch TV all day? Like,
yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Let's lower the TVs out here.
Do it on your treadmill. Marcus Sherman. During one of Nate's earlier diets, he had challenged the guys to a weight loss competition. I remember Brian and Nate landing specifically on racing to 165. In August of 23, spurred by a family reunion gone wrong, I'd like to know about that.
Yeah, me too.
I started my weight loss journey.
The three-legged race was
yeah.
not fun.
Guess. They did a guess your weight at your family reunion. Yeah. he was 5'10", about 330. As of today, he weighed in at 165.
Wow.
That's crazy. 50% loss. I got there first.
Wow.
He did. That's crazy.
50% loss. Yeah. Congrats, Marcus Sherman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you're half. Think about that. There'd be two of you is what
yeah.
you were.
Yeah.
That's so crazy, man. Dude.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Right back in about this family reunion gone wrong. I'm picturing like a, you know, like a sack race that just got out of hand because he was so big.
Yeah, maybe. I just thought they maybe made fun of him.
Yeah.
Maybe okay. ate too much.
Ate too much.
Yeah. Maybe he had
too
a little
much
too
potato
much.
Salad.
He was yeah. like, there you go. There's not enough buns for the hot dog.
Yeah,
they go, Marcus. They go, I don't even have to tell you, but Marcus got into those buns.
He's eating
and
raw
he eats
buns.
Raw buns. And then it didn't map out. We were already one short to begin with. And then now Marcus showed up, and now we're in big trouble. But congratulations, bud. Pratik Thapliyal. Pratik the pill
that's,
out.
That's
yeah.
very good. Well, it's always the second
I'll
one. That
beat the pill out.
Thapply
y'all.
Thapply y'all. I bet it's the pill out.
Yeah.
I know Nate doesn't say bad words on screen. What about a role, though? If offered a part in a movie or of a TV show where the character says and does that kind of stuff, will he do it? How big will the director or the movie need to be for Nate to accept this situation?
Ooh, that's a
interesting
good question. Adrian Brody.
If Adrian Brody asked me to do
it, is like Scorsese.
South China Sea.
Yeah.
Scorsese calls you and he yeah. goes, I want you to be the lead in the next movie, but you're like a mobster, a tough guy. You have to just beat people up. You're screaming obscenities. I mean, all his movies, he says the F word 500
yeah.
times,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be that guy. But this is like, but it's an undeniably great movie.
I wouldn't. If I couldn't figured out not to do it.
Yeah.
I have not got plenty of stuff because of that exact thing. Not, I mean, not that I'm a great or deserving of this stuff, but when I go in, I can, I mean, I did one with the Coen brothers. I auditioned for a thing with the Coen brothers. They asked me not too long ago. It was a movie that does have all that kind of stuff in it. You know, they're obviously, that's about as big as it can get.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do a Coen brothers movie. And when I read the part, I just said, I'm not going to curse in this part. And then I did it, and they went through it with me, and I think they liked me a lot. And the casting director, they were, like, wonderful, but I just said, I'm not going to curse, and I did parts, and, you know, I'm not in the movie. Like,
the other, the
I don't know if that's – I'm not saying that's why. Probably because I stink, but it's – it's. I've had – yeah, I mean, I think that hurt me with a lot. It didn't hurt me, but it was like I just couldn't ever really go – do anything, even when I was younger. Like, younger, I guess maybe I could have said something out of pure, if Martin Scorsese or the Coen brothers came to me and I'm 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, I think I have to do this. You know, it's like, I could see in a situation like that, but even back then I wouldn't go do stuff, because there's a lot of comedies that would be very dirty and they'd want me to go read for them, and I just wouldn't do it. So I don't think I would do it. So
the other thing is,
if I can figure it, I'm not saying I wouldn't be in a movie where it's mm-hmm. maybe not stuff like that's happening,
mm-hmm.
but I my character, you know, I mean, as of now, and I've said no to stuff, so I wouldn't, but we're, you know, but I don't know. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But that's just where I've kind of stuck.
You just take the role and then just start changing it on the scene.
Yeah. Well, when I read the audition, I didn't do it with them. I just was like, I'm not going
to
curse.
I've done it. I was supposed to be naked in two different movies that I agreed to be in. I go, hey, how about we change some of this up a little bit?
Yeah.
I accept it and change it when I get there. Yeah. I go, hey, I got a little idea of a change here.
He does what he does for those rides. Yeah. He goes, yeah. And they get there and he like flew to Europe, right?
Yeah.
He goes to Europe. They flew him to Europe. The whole point of this was they've all agreed that this is going to happen. The day it's supposed to happen, he goes, what if we didn't do that part? And then they're like, yeah, I guess we can't now.
Yeah. It's better than if you were doing it the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's Nick, great. It's a Lifetime movie that we're doing.
It's a Christmas film.
Yeah.
Julianne. Does Nick Novicki still live in Los Angeles? If he does, did he start those fires?
Yes and yes. I live in Culver City. Just moved. So it's...
You were not affected by the fires, but your old house and where Dustin Chaffin lives were... I mean...
Yeah, it was. Actually, I was in Vegas with you, about to go on stage. The city of Los Angeles thought I still lived where I lived. I got an evacuation order. My wife is 8.5 months pregnant, and we have a 3-year-old. And I'm like, what? You know, so luckily, it didn't affect
luckily,
where we
she
are.
She was alone.
Luckily, luckily, I left her with very little resources while I was having an unbelievable time eating steak dinner, having a great time with my friends, working.
kind of like you with Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. I owe Till his wife a lot. I mean, we put him in so many situations. Like, what if you come do this? And he's like, hey. And then he's like, I just did all of this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but let me go see. And then he's got to walk in like a husband that just goes, I was thinking, like, what it, you got to ask. You got to know, you know, you got to know when to ask.
Oh, yeah.
You go sometimes where it's like your buddy could be like, hey, do you want to come do this? And then he's like, just go ask your wife. You go, give me a couple days.
Yeah. Let me.
I think I can do it. Give me a couple
days. Let me lay some groundwork.
Yeah.
Clean the house a little bit. I'll do something.
I gotta. This isn't, if I go in there right now, we're getting immediate though.
Mm-hmm. See, the problem is there's always groundwork while I'm asking for one thing and then another thing. Let me tell you about next week in Texas.
Yeah.
Also, when you have time, I want to talk about something with Nate. That is the hard thing too. Of like last night. I mean, it was a really special night. It's hard to not say it was. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. My wife's. You know, we have a 3-week-old baby, so she's got like vomit on her and the other baby. She's like, "How was your night?" I'm like, "In a tuxedo." Yeah. I'm like, "South China Sea."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
She's very supportive.
Nateland is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Today's topic is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And Dusty had to drop out last minute. I thought we were all going to be here, but we can maybe talk about it the following week when he's here. Yep. I don't think you're here next week, but we can mm-hmm. continue it with him. So this was actually suggested by a folk. I was at a show a few weeks ago, and Jeremy, and he said, "I'd love to hear one on friendship." People always ask, they want to know how we met each other, which I think we've kind of talked about on here. There's no great stories, but people would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of great you're here because you and Nate have known each other the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys first meet?
Boston Comedy Club in New York City. It's called Boston.
Yeah, there was a club that we would do
with Dustin Chaffin
all the time. Dustin Chaffin ran it, who was in Irvine all weekend, and and I actually started living with him. Just graduated college, started living with him. I was living in a living room in Queens, and it was like really cheap, a great setup, and I had this giant living room all to myself that was a sheet. That was like half the living room is, and it was like a big studio almost.
Yeah.
So then Nate moves in, and so now we have to cut the sheet in half.
Yeah.
And Nate is on the one side, and I'm like, "What is this?" You know, he's moving in, but then it ended up being.
So y'all lived together, separated by a shower curtain,
a shower curtain
in a living room,
and we just became like so tight, just playing video games, and just like it was great.
It was crazy because I did not get any space. Nick's room was it was a very big living room.
I mean, I had a dresser. I had all kinds of stuff.
He had all kinds of stuff in there. And then so I had a sliver. A full bed couldn't fit in my curtain. Mm-hmm. So I had to sleep on one of those like a recliner that folds out to a bed. You know, it's like, and so that's what I slept on. I had the air conditioner. It was right above my head.
That's pretty sweet.
It was good. So it would always get hot, but I would, you know, it's like one of those, like, it's a blessing and a curse where you're like, you're glad it's there. Uh-huh. You'd rather there than not be there, man, it's on top of you.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, and there ain't no duvets back then. You don't have like all the, you know, you got like 40 thin blankets on you.
Yeah. I think they had big blankets back then.
I know, but no dude was buying it.
You could have bought a heavy blanket.
I didn't even. That was when you're young. Like you're not even.
You're sleeping with a towel as a blanket.
You're just. Yeah. It's you wouldn't even. Yeah, you don't even think. There's no like. Oh, I should probably decorate this.
Yeah, it's four dudes in a one bedroom apartment. So yeah. We weren't decorating.
No. It was not a great. You know, mm-hmm. obviously a bad, like a real bad.
Yeah.
So no one, there was nothing that was, you know, no one was buying any house stuff. You were like, I just needed a place to go at night.
Yeah. Nobody had silverware, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No silverware. No. Yeah. I mean, no one was doing, you know, we're all just minding our own business, like doing comedy. Yeah. And so you just like, you go out all day and night and then you.
And then one of the roommates too, Rich Aronovich, had this crazy catalog of old VHS, you know, tapes of comics and stuff. So it was neat. It was a fun time.
Yeah. I don't know if we told the story about did Nick made Rich audition for a sketch. Was it a sketch?
It was like a short film.
A short film that Nick was doing. So we're roommates. That Rich is allowing Nick to stay there. Nick's not supposed to be staying there. Yeah. He's allowing Nick to stay there. And he goes, and Rich is like, Rich is like very funny. And like, he does I don't know if you've seen, but like a bunch of the dancing videos and where, you know, it's like he dances crazy, like on the cruise ship and all this. I think it's been big on TikTok and stuff like that. Wonderful person. And so Rich was very, very talented. He always reminded me of Howie Mandel. Like, he just was like that kind of guy. Very, very funny, like just
physical. Too.
Yeah. And, so he wants the part. We're like, just give him the part. Like, I mean, Nick is talking like he's, you know, Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
And he goes,
I mean, in fairness, though, I told him, look, it was supposed to be an old guy that was an agent. Yeah. He's in his 20s, you know. And so I'm like, the part is you're supposed to be this old, you know, guy. And so this is like a, you know, a camp, actor comic camp. So he comes back out and he goes in a tuxedo with slick back hair. And he goes, I'm ready for it. I want to audition. Like, I'll show you. So now we're doing like an audition. And Dustin and Nate walk in. It looks like we're in like a casting session in our living room.
And we walk in to hear Nick go, I don't think it's going to work. And then he shut his curtain and went to bed. Yeah, me and Nick, we were with Dustin. We were just all in New York hanging out. Nick moved. You went to L.A. pretty quick, quicker than I sometimes even think about. But you were coming back to New York so much.
Yeah.
Like, you were in, I mean, I feel like you were there once a month and you just stayed with us.
Mm-hmm. I stayed with you and Laura, like, you know, an insane amount.
Yeah.
So for the Boardwalk Empire, for all these things.
Yeah.
Almost didn't get the Sopranos, the first role I ever got in Sopranos, because I was playing Madden with Nate until 4 a.m.
the
day of the audition. Wow. And Dustin comes in. He's like, you should be, you know, working on your thing.
I think Laura read lines with you.
That was for a different.
That was a different thing. Yeah.
That was for a movie that I was cast in with Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
And I got it. Very emotional, very exciting thing. I tell my parents, I got it. Oh, my God. You know, this is... They end up giving my part away. Peter Dinklage decides to do it. So even though I'm hired after 5 auditions, they just go... I was filming a Boardwalk Empire. So they knew dates of when my episodes were. So they were like, you know, he's got to be in New Orleans on this day for rehearsal. And I go, I could be there any other day. I'm telling my agent. And eventually they were like, they wanted Peter Jenkins the whole time. And they're using you as like bait.
Yeah.
So they, you know, paid me, you know, and basically I messed him up. So I cost him a lot of money. Yeah. On that deal, because they're like, we got a guy already hired.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And so, you know, I had to retell that whole emotional book. My mom, she's like, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, you know, I had to call her up and be like, hey.
Everything you've worked for, everything you've done.
I always believed in you. So anyways, a couple things. I'm coming home next week. That part didn't work out. There's another little guy more famous. I know. I love you. I'll see you soon.
I think the lesson is to, when you get something, just assume you don't get it.
Yeah.
Until it airs.
I don't say anything anymore.
Yeah, you could probably film it, everything.
I have a couple things coming out. I'm not telling anybody until I see it.
Yeah.
It's like the airplane seat. Wait till that plane's moving before you do the victory lap.
Yeah.
Because you could not know you were cut from the movie till you watch it, right?
Oh, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I think they can be... Look up, has there been like famous cuts in a movie? Is there a way to?
I just saw a clip of the guy. Who's the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Charlie?
Nah, not the
Danny DeVito?
No. Yeah, Rob. Yeah, I just saw a video of him telling a story about his first big break. Invites his whole family, all his friends to the movie theater to watch it. And he was completely cut and they never told him. So they're all there to watch him. And he had lines with, and they just cut around him.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty ruthless kind of thing. But it's one of those that you're like, that's what, if anybody gets into that acting, you're like, you gotta, that's what you're signing up for. And it's, you just get cut. You're either probably going to get told no. You're probably never going to get told no.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
They're actually never going to say the word no
to you. They'll just stop talking.
They will stop talking to you.
Yeah.
And you got to just accept that and go, all right, fine, whatever, move forward. And then you're going to probably get cut. I don't think I've ever been anything. I haven't been anything, so.
It's so brutal. I did one episode of a TV show, and I'm playing like a guy who's like an elf in it. In like a mall, but I had a really funny, all this improv. The director was like, oh my God, everything you did was so funny. You added all this new layers to it. I mean, we weren't even thinking about all this. It was so great, everything. So I had my lines and then I improv all these things. I mean, I was getting hugged by producers and the director on the way out.
You saved
it. So happy. I'm so excited to do a big post about it. Every single line is cut. So now I'm just an elf standing there in the corner of this mall. And I do this whole boast about how, you know, when you're, you know, seeing me tonight, it was what an experience to be able to get to, you know, you know, do improv and work with everybody and you put yourself out there. And it's all gone. And now I'm just there, kind of like, hey.
You tagged
Still, it was a fun time. Yeah, I tagged everybody in the cast. Yeah, I was like, you know.
It says to be part of a professional thing like that. And then, that's so funny. If someone just saw that post, they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. That was like, like if you look at the post last night from Nick, that you gave that post basically for that movie.
Yeah.
Like a post like that.
Instagram post. Yeah, I did the photos of us from the night.
Incredible experience. Yeah. Artistically fulfilling.
Yeah.
You're just an extra stand-up.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Get so that funny. Pension credit.
That's so funny.
But it's all about, it's fun, the experience. Yeah. You have to be willing to be like, hey, this is what it is. And honestly, a lot of times, it has nothing to do with what you're doing as an actor. It's just the timing, you know, it doesn't fit for the storyline. Unless you're the star, you're there to service it. So it's like, it doesn't matter how great it is. It just
They're not going to tailor everything around you.
They're not
going to
tailor if you're not the, you know.
Yeah. I get asked, like, when movies... people like out because we're like have you know we're still trying to figure out our movies and they'd be like I'm like yeah I think we're doing a movie and they go oh are you in it I get asked that every time and I'm like yeah and they're like okay
have you ever been anything
they're like I wasn't sure if it was gonna be good or not
yeah they're always like yeah are you gonna be in it like yeah that's what we're trying to do man it's kind of been the goal I've been in I was in Marc Maron's TV show, just played myself.
Maron.
So that was the only thing that I did. It was just me and him doing a podcast. So it was like, but that's the only thing I really shot. And then I mean SNL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the DoorDash commercial. Like so I've been around, we shot a pilot. I've been on sets and I've done it. But the thing with movies that I think will be interesting is how long you got to wait for it to come out and see it. Mm-hmm. Because we're so used to instant, you know, kind of gratification or maybe not gratification, either way, but your instant response. Mm-hmm. So everything we do, if we think of a joke right now, I can go see if it works in 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you'll know immediately.
You
know,
and I mean, honestly, you could even figure it out at the moment. You could call a couple people or just say it.
Talk through it.
Yeah. And just get a vibe to be like, all right, I think that is a good idea. So it's like you can feel that stuff. And then when you do this.
Yeah, let me ask you, Nick, do you ever show up for something, an acting job, and you realize right away this is going to be garbage? Or do you, or is there some stuff you're like, this could go either, this could be great, I have no idea.
See, I'm a terrible judge because like I like everything. So I'm like, oh, it's great.
Yeah,
you
he's
know?
Not gonna
I,
be. Yeah.
I like every movie. I'm like the worst judge. Yeah. And then people are like, oh my God, what were you thinking? I'm like, I thought it was good. I don't know.
You get swept up in the...
Don't you run a film competition?
I do, but I'm not a judge. I am the founder and director of the Eastern Sales Disability Film Challenge. I don't judge them because I like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's good. But I mean, you want you around because of that. Mm-hmm. But it's, I could see, it's hard to tell, man. I mean, I can go, if you honestly, I would say, if you watched movies and made someone watch them alone, that would be interesting. Watch alone and say, was it good or bad? Mm-hmm.
Read no reviews, blind, just you watch it.
Yeah. And you're not around another person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not around anybody else. I bet most things people would think are good.
But aren't a lot of movies meant to be watched communally in a theater?
Yeah, like comedies and stuff. Yes, are the big ones. But I'm talking about in general, like what he's talking about. You could even, it's like Hallmark movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people could be like, those are terrible or something. But then you go watch one alone and you're like, yeah, I don't know, man. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I watched another one because it rolled right into it. And it's like, and they're great and they're nice and they're, you know. So it's, I think if you break people off, people would like more stuff. It's a big mob mentality to go against, you know, all these kind of movies or whatever.
But I think you have to go into it like being like, this is great. Because it's pretty easy to have, like, you know, to be swayed where you're like, oh, this is going to be, if one person says it's bad, and then you're like, you know, it's got
to
be.
You got to think it's going to be made to be great.
Yeah.
So you got to go, and if you were in it, you're like, I don't think I like this script. Like, I don't think it seems good, and I'm confused. That's the hard part with me is I can't tell just I have, because I'm not doing one. Like, all right, if I don't like something, how much can I change something? Or how much can I, in that moment, be like, oh, we got to figure it out. Like, this is not working. Or, you know, the story is the main, that's why the jokes don't matter if you're writing a script. It's the story. Comics go to jokes. They want jokes. And you can write, honestly, if you wanted to write a comedy, I think you could write a sad movie and then just be like, now make it funny.
Yeah, that's punch
it
up.
But, like, it needs to have a story because otherwise it's, the jokes are easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, I mean, it's a comic, especially, but even if you weren't a comic, it's like just go give it to a bunch of comics and be like, I need to make it this kind of comedy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. That's the part that's seems it's gonna be hard to figure out. You know, did we talk about they have script doctors? Did we ever say that? Mm. They have like there's guys that are their full time their job is they will get a movie, and they've done it, I think, with Marvel movies and with a bunch of movies where a movie will be bad, and then they pay this guy and like these high end writers, and that's a lot of their work is they get just some crazy amount of money, and then they come in and just
do triage on it.
Oh yeah, and just fix the whole and have to fix the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and that happens almost every movie, I think. I believe. It just ends up, you kind of get it. You need other eyes on it because the person that is writing it is like been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, especially those, I think some of the big ones, you know. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. It's kind of a short one.
That's okay. I mean, this is fun though.
Yeah.
But just real quick, as far as me and you, I remember first time I met you. I started comedy in 2007, January 2007.
Yeah.
I think at the end of that year, you came home for Thanksgiving and Christmas like you do. I mean, a lot of people thought we met here in Nashville. We didn't. I mean, you were in New York.
Yeah.
But you would come home a lot. And I'd heard of you because, you know, NashvilleStandup.com had listed all the comics. And I was like, Bargatze? I wonder if he's related to Ron Bargatze.
Yeah. who
I grew up listening to on the radio.
Who is that? Basketball. My cousin was the color commentator for Vanderbilt basketball for years.
Yeah.
He always has all these hidden ticket links to Vanderbilt sports that we find out about.
Yeah, why don't you tell yours to Queen Latifah? This is what he was going to tell.
I'm waiting in line.
Can you tell it?
Oh, man. This is so.
This is what he wanted to tell her. It's the party's loud.
Yeah.
No one can really hear. It's not a like get into a big conversation kind of thing. And it was, so,
yeah.
A guy goes up to her. She has no idea who he is. He's already been up to her.
Yeah, we already talked. She initiated. She yeah. said hello to me to start. Yeah. And then I wanted to go back. So my uncle just died. My uncle is from Senegal.
This is brutal already.
My uncle's from Senegal, who my aunt married, and my uncle died. And, you know, years ago, he was in a music video of hers. And as a kid, that was really crazy yeah. to be like, he was in this Queen Latifah, you know, music video, and I remember seeing it. So mind you, I just had everything we should have had in a conversation. I'm standing next to her on this amazing Vanity Fair party, and she's in a gown, and I'm about to tell her that, you know, my uncle just died.
Yeah, she
you know?
Sang a song. She sang a song on the Oscars,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, yeah. She and did it, a big song, a big thing, a whole, yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to get back in. They were like, you've already talked.
Yeah. yeah.
But in my head, I was like, let's not bring this up.
Let's not go, yeah. I mean, that was 30 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
You gotta bring up
35, hey, I would say.
Yeah. He did bring up to Conan, he was in something for time ago. This but Conan great, did remember it.
This is a great. So with Conan, Conan was in a White Stripes music video. And this is a very popular song. It was a huge music video. Mm. And I play a couple different, you know, characters in the music video, including a smaller version of Conan O'Brien. And I actually announce the White Stripes in the music video. Mm. I say, the White Stripes, and you could hear my voice. I have a Conan face on, but it's Michelle Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, directed it.
Yeah.
And it's a big music video. And there's one moment where we go from Conan is on one side of the screen to he'll walk away, and the other side is me. And I'm, watch. There's a little door here, and now it's me, and I'll say the White Stripes. And in the doorway, so the way this is all, the whole music video is one continuous shot,
uh-huh.
except when it goes from me and him. So me and Conan are stuck in that little doorway for about 6 hours in a side like this.
Gosh.
So
for that one shot we just saw?
For that one shot we just saw. And I keep repeating him, doing him. And at the end of it, you'll see me, I play like a crazy fan. And there's another shot of me like, you know, I'm like running in a car as like I'm chasing a car or something.
Is Conan actually there?
Conan's there the whole time. That's Conan. That is Conan.
Oh, he doesn't have like
something on his head? And then that's me. So that's me, and I say, the White Stripes. And you can hear me in this music video that was the number one music video for...
Yeah.
Like 10 years. It still plays on MTV. So
I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, hang on a sec.
Right here.
You can hear it. You hear it. Yeah. I'm in it. That's me saying the White Stripes. So, but in the moment, like, he knows I'm a comedian. Yeah. The White Stripes know I'm a comedian. They're supposed to come out to see us. We're doing a show that night. I'm telling them the Broadway Comedy Club. We're upstairs. Yeah. So, but Conan knows I'm a comedian. He's the nicest guy, the greatest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And so we're stuck together for 6 hours. He knows I'm a comedian. And I'm like, you know, trying to now, after a while, just be funny. Where I'm like, yeah, what a fun time in here, huh? And he goes, you know, now he doesn't get that I'm trying to be funny. Like, oh, this is crazy that we're in here for 6 hours like this. And he's like, yeah, this is a fun time. You know, says it like that. Like, he's trying, but like in a delayed thing. Yeah. Like, he's trying to kind of be like, I don't want you to, you know, like just feeling that this is exciting for me. Because it was exciting, too. Mm-hmm. But he just gets everything. But he didn't get that I was like, you know, in on the joke that like, we are sweat. Like, he's literally sweating on me.
Yeah.
It's like 100 degrees inside that little closet that we're in. But it was such a, I mean, you talk about an exciting day. I'm 23 years old, and I'm in a closet with Conan O'Brien for 6 hours.
Which, you go from this to that Kate Hudson to Boardwalk. I mean, you're like, I'm on a rocket ship.
And then it all falls downhill.
Then Peter Dinklage comes in. Smashes it all.
Yeah. I still get residual checks for that movie. That was not
That's great.
That's cool.
It's nice. All right. Yeah, this is a quick one.
We'll continue this subject.
We'll do the friendship one with,
another episode when
Dusty's here.
Yeah, when Dusty's here and you're here and we're all here.
Yeah. Okay.
Real quick, picture shows.
I got Vegas. Yeah, in a couple weeks. Yeah,
at the Wynn. Mm-hmm. And this week, this Friday, I'm in Bozeman, Montana, at Last Best Comedy Club. Two shows. March 12th, next Wednesday, I'm here. The Lab of Zanies for Brian Bates and Friends. Nate's doing it. Aaron's doing it. Everybody come out to
Wynn.
Next Wednesday. I like to tell people you're coming, then once it sells out, then I say, sorry, you couldn't make it.
Yeah.
By then, I've already got the tickets.
Yeah. Nate bailed on us.
Yeah. Yeah. I make you the bad guy.
Throw him under the bus.
Cha-ching. And then March 14th, 15th, I'm in Beverly, Massachusetts at Off Cabot Comedy Club.
Nice. So the last Sunday of every month, I have a show at Flappers Comedy Club. So come on out, and I am very excited. The 12th Annual Easter Sales Disability Film Challenge registration is open. It's happening April 1st to April 6th. Make a film. Have somebody with a disability in front of or behind the camera. The films don't have to be about disability. This year, the genre is thriller and suspense. Our award ceremony is going to be May 8th at Sony Pictures. Nate presented last year.
Yeah.
So
Then you got some good people lined up this year.
We do. So
and yeah.
Adrian Brody.
Thriller.
Queen Latifah.
Yeah. That's what we actually should try to get Sean Baker, Adrian Brody, and Queen Latifah.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah,
Leo will do it.
Yeah.
God, he was trying to approach me to be on.
Yeah, that would have been the time to hit him up, dude.
Oh, yeah. I think you would have left me and you would have hung out with Leo. It was that much of a greeting that you could have been like, all right, dude, I'll just meet you later on.
Yeah. Go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com to learn about it.
Yeah.
Aaron Weber here this weekend, Kansas City, Missouri, at the Kansas City Funny Bone. I've never done my own show in Kansas City before, so I'm excited. That's Friday, Saturday, and then later this month, Hartford, Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, Chicago, Illinois. Come on out and watch the special. 250,000 views right now. It's getting a lot of press.
Check it out.
I was on Access Hollywood the other night. Ooh. Mario Lopez threw to it.
Yeah.
It's been very cool. Crazy. So thank you, guys.
And Nick Thune special this Friday.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. We love you. Bye. Nateland is produced by Nateland Productions and by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the Audio Boom platform. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nateland Podcast.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.